Jesus, we thank you for this afternoon, and we thank you for the opportunity you give us week after week to gather as a church to be nourished in the Word of God. Thank you for the Rancho Church. Thank you for all the people who are destined to be saved and to be affected by our ministry here in Rancho. We pray, Lord, and we thank you for their lives. And we pray, Lord, that you will grow this church, empower it, and cause it to rise up to do what it was planted here to do. Cause the light from this church to so shine that men will see the good works you are doing here and give glory to you. We pray this afternoon that you will bless the preaching and teaching of your word, as well as the hearing and understanding, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is how I lived my life. I was a sinner. This is who I really am. Really what? My life. Knowing me, knowing you. Got you. You should be singing, knowing me, knowing you. Got you. Praise God. All right. So this morning we started sharing. Today is for us the beginning of our 527 season. Amen. Amen. Another season where we take a book. You know, not every church is blessed to have books. Many churches are blessed to have great pastors, great teachers, and great preaching in their church, but they do not have this one feather step which makes a big difference, and that is to have books, messages written into books and inspired writings such as the ones that we've been blessed to have. Hallelujah. When you put something in a book, you give it life. You make it immortal when you give it or put it in a book. And so we're blessed to have the books, and while the blessing is with us, we must make the most of them. Amen. Amen. So during Vision 527, we typically take one book and we study as much of it as we can for the period that it lasts. So during these weeks that we're going to be studying the book, I want you to make sure you carry it with you all the time. Bring it to church, okay? You've been blessed with a copy, I believe. If you have, keep it, because there won't be another one. Amen. Amen. And also, we need some people to help us pay for it. Do you see? So you can give a one-time offering, $50, $100. The book is what? What does it cost? $7, okay. So we need people to just sponsor it. Hallelujah. I want to sponsor a few of them. Who else wants to join me? You also want to sponsor some? Maureen? Okay, so Elpak, you go to each of us, and then we do our thing, sharp, sharp. And then you just tell us it's not by raising of hands. It's by performing. Amen. But I believe that anything anyone does just to help to push God's work a little bit will not go without a blessing. Amen. Amen. God is watching all of us and is watching our efforts. And the Bible says, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Yeah. Even when you cast bread upon the waters, the Bible says you'll be surprised that after many, many days, bread on water, after many, many days, you'll find it. Wow, it's a miracle. Do you understand? And right there, God is promising you an unexpected mind-blowing miracle. Because, you know, even when bread is on the table, you don't find it after many days. One day I put some special bread on the table. That bread, it entered my soul. So you can imagine that when bread has arrived on water, and after many days you are finding it, you know that is a great, great miracle. Amen. Pastor Malena, the way this thing sounds, I feel like I have a cold or something. Okay. So I'm going to chapter 2 at the Rancho Church. Okay. And in chapter 2, the chapter says many Christians are called. Hallelujah. And I want to share with you 5 facts about the call of God. 5 facts about the call of God. Amen. Amen. Now, as Bishop mentions in the first paragraph, that if you were God and you had 6 billion people to save, what would you do? Do you see? What would you do? If you had so much work to do, what would you do? Now, let's watch that video we saw this morning. If you have it, can we watch that video clip again? And then I'll continue sharing with you. So, it will take some time. Okay. All right. You put it together, and when you're ready, stop me. Amen. Right. So, if you had, sometimes when people are moving house, you know, you're just moving house, and you rally around a lot of people, isn't it? Unless your things are not a lot, like Paul. See, Paul, he can actually move this afternoon, Lord. He's too powerful. Yeah. When he's moving, there's nothing like movers. There's no announcement. You just go to his former house to look for him, and they'll tell you that he has relocated. Hey, brother, but those days are coming when you're going to need trucks to move you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So you see that there are those people whose moves are complex. U-Haul, you know, what's the name? Penske, and all those trucks are engaged. But there are some people, their little Toyota is all they need. You know, and then they are gone. So my point here is that even when you have as little to do as just move a house, a family, you know, you seem to need a lot of help, and you seem to want to engage a lot of people, isn't it? So if God has so many souls to save, are you not expecting that God will call more than a few people to help the work of the harvest? What do you think? It just makes sense that God must call a lot of people if he wants to get any serious work done. Hallelujah. Amen. But what you find is typically in a church, it looks like there's one called person called the pastor, and everybody else is the congregation. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is not correct. Because Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if it's about a calling, the Bible says many people are called. Hallelujah. More than a couple of people, many people are called. So the first fact about the call of God is, number one, that many people are called. Hallelujah. Amen. Many people are called. And if you look in your book, you see many means what? Many are called means large numbers of people are called. Hallelujah. It also means the masses are called. It means huge numbers of people are called. It means numerous people are called. It means countless people are called. It means lots of people are called. And then my favorite one is the majority of people are called. And most of the people are called. Hallelujah. I believe that the majority of us do have some kind of a calling on our lives. Amen. And as I was explaining this morning, without that, your Christian life does not make much sense. You know, it doesn't have much of a future, and it does not make much sense to continue to be coming to church on Sundays and to go back and to come to church and to go back and to come to church and to go back. One day you're going to get tired of it and you will stop. Hallelujah. Amen. You will stop. You will backslide. If you do not rise up and connect to the real reason why the Lord has saved us and left us here. Hallelujah. Amen. Which is what chapter 1 is about. Chapter 1 is explaining that there must be a reason why we haven't gone to heaven yet. Isn't it?
Yeah.
There has to be a reason. God must have a very good reason why he hasn't taken us to heaven yet. Hallelujah. So God wants us to understand that many of us are called. Hallelujah. Amen. Many of us are called. Many of us are called. And we must begin to turn our attention towards the call. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember that from that verse we were reading in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. That verse was saying, that passage was saying that he gave us apostles and prophets. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work. Isn't it?
Yeah.
For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So it means then that the saints are actually called. Isn't it?
Yeah.
The saints are actually called. It's like you are hired for a job and then they bring someone to take you through an orientation. You see, a coaching on how to do the job. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you are called. Just by the fact that you are sitting there at the orientation shows that you are one of the employees, isn't it? Yeah. So God says that apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, they are supposed to perfect the saints so that the saints will do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. So that the saints will do the work of the ministry. You see, this little comma here is what is making a lot of people misunderstand this verse. So it looks like the pastors are called to perfect the saints, number one, and number two, for the work of the ministry. Do you get it? But you tell me, if you were a pastor, would you like this job to perfect the saints? To make people perfect? What kind of job is that? The job of making people perfect. No. You can only perfect people for a cause. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That is easier to do. That sounds more reasonable, that you make someone good enough for something. But to make the person perfect. Ah. If that's my job description, I resign. This afternoon, I'm quitting my job. You can't, knowing me, knowing you. Knowing me, knowing you, gotcha. No way. You cannot take on a job perfecting the saints. Make the saints perfect. Make the saints sinless. Hey, no. You see, so it's looking like it's perfecting the saints, number one. Number two, for the work of the ministry. And number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ha! No. I'm already tired just reading it. Okay? So it is, in other translations, you will find that the comma is not there. And then suddenly it makes a lot of sense because you start to read it as for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. So it means that pastors and so on are coaches, isn't it? And then the saints are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. Yeah, and that is why you seem to have fewer pastors and more saints. Wow. you get it. If the aim was for the pastors to do the work, then you have more pastors and fewer saints. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, see, there are more players than the coach, isn't it? Yeah. So every Christian must understand that our purpose is to be engaged in the work of God. Hallelujah. Our purpose is to be engaged in the work of God. Every pastor, every apostle, every evangelist, every prophet, and every teacher is supposed to use his gift to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when you have a gift and you're not using it for its purpose, then the gift can be redirected or misdirected even. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes you can see that there's an abuse of the use of gifts. Or abuse of gifts. Do you see? Because the gifts are not being used for their main purpose. Do you understand? Yeah. And so you see that sometimes people who have other gifts, let's say people who are prophets, use the gifts to do other things. Do you see? Because it's not being used to do what we are supposed to be doing, to perfect the saints for, I mean, what a great gift it would be to have a prophet who can actually see visions and see who is ready to be saved, to direct our outreach. How would you like it if by the time we come assemble for any kind of outreach, let's say Maureen has seen visions about today there'll be five people who are ready and ripe for salvation. One of them is wearing a blue shirt. Another one is wearing a blue jeans with a white shirt and a baseball cap. And then that other one has three children walking behind her and they'll be coming down the street at exactly 4:03. Such a prophetic gift. Then as she's meeting the person, you know, she can already see things and know things about the person. I tell you, anytime you can tell things to people about them that nobody else knows, they are already wowed. Yeah, and when you say, look, give your life to Christ now. It's ready. You meet the person and say, excuse me, what's your name? Then you, before she mentions the name, she said, don't tell me, your name is Susan. Then the person starts to watch out. Oh, take it easy. You drive a blue car, isn't it? You just parked it down the road there. Well, have you been following me? Oh, no, I've not been following me. If I've been following you, it means I've come all the way from Alhambra. That's where you live, isn't it? You start to get scared. Yeah. And before I tell you about what happened last night, you have two brothers, isn't it? Yeah. Do you still want me to talk about last night? I said, no. Give your life to Christ now. Otherwise, I'll talk about last night. Yeah. Is it not a powerful gift? It's a powerful gift. You know? So there are other ways this same gift can be used. But the Bible is showing us that the primary purpose for the gifts is so that the saints can be perfected for the work of ministry. Are you getting it? That is what every gift is supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. So many people are called. And that is a fact. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, there is a call to fruitfulness. There is a call to fruitfulness. Keith Green said, you don't need to hear a call. You're already called. Said, you don't need to hear a call. You are already called. Hallelujah. Amen. You are already called. You don't need to hear a call. It's like somebody who is waiting to be asked to do something, even though they've already been hired for it. Do you see? You've been hired. They said, we need somebody whose job is to receive goods here or to do this and that. This is your job description. Then the next day when they come, they find you standing. And when they ask you why you're not working, you say, you're waiting to be called or to be told to work. You know? I mean, they are going to wonder, what is wrong with you? Yeah, we hired you for this job. So we need someone here who is going to receive, let's say just receive the UPS man when he comes to make his deliveries. We need someone to open the door. Then the UPS man comes and you are standing right there. You won't open the door. And when they ask you why, because you've not been asked to open the door. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are already called. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Says, what are we called to do? Are we all called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers? The answer is a simple no. You see, not everyone is called to have the same type of gift. Do you see? But the commonality is in the purpose of the gift. Hallelujah. It's not in the type of gift. So we may have different callings. Hallelujah. But all the callings are supposed to lead to one thing. All of us are called to bear fruit. Hallelujah. All of us are called to bear fruit. So John chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me. Ye have not chosen me. Have you seen that verse? John 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Says there are two things. One of them is to go and get the fruit. And then the second part of our calling is to preserve the fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we start a church, what we are doing is practicing the second part of the calling. That is to create something that helps to preserve the fruit.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But the first one, which is the going to bring forth the fruit itself, is also part of our work. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that a sweet part of the verse?
Yes.
That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It is very common to find Christians praying and quoting this part of the verse to the Lord. Lord, as you know, you promised that whatsoever we ask you in your name. Well, Lord, even now we don't even know whose name it is. It's my name or your name or something, but you said a name, Lord. You know, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So Lord, give me this. Wow. How can you skip about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines and just talk about the last 2 or 3? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you want this result, you need to work it backwards to see what creates it.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? if you like what is going on this part of the page, you need to find out what is at the top of the page that creates what you like at the end. Hallelujah. Amen. And you find out that this promise is not just to everyone. This promise is a reward for fruitfulness. He said that if you will go, I have chosen you. You did not choose me. I have chosen you. And then he says, I have ordained you. You see, this is where the call already is. He says, I have ordained you. That is anybody who says that this part of the verse is for them. The Lord says that condition is accept that you are ordained. Are you following what I'm saying? So turn to your nearest ordained brother or sister and say, dear ordained minister. Hallelujah. You see, it says you're already ordained. You are ordained. Ordained. And to ordain someone just means to set the person specially aside. That is all. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean the wearing of a collar. It just means that the person has been set specially aside. Hallelujah. So it says that I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. The purpose of the ordination is so that you will go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hallelujah. So you see that even the answers to your prayers actually depend on your fruitfulness. The more fruitful you are, the more answers you will have to your prayers. The less fruitful you are, the less answers you will have for your prayers. Because this verse is, or this part of the thing is not for you. Hallelujah. This part of the thing is not for you. It's more like, you know, they are just setting out the terms of your employment. It's like you get a job and they are trying to lay out the whole thing so you understand. You see, they are saying that you are not the boss, I'm the boss. You know, when you go to a new job, one of the first things they do is to introduce you to who is your boss. They try to show you who is who in this place. Do you get it? And say, you report to this person and this person reports to that person. So they are saying that you have not chosen them. They are trying to show you who calls the shots here. So who is going to define who does what? Do you see? So that's what he's doing. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Then he says, I have ordained you. You know, that means I have put, if you like, a uniform. You are going to now wear this uniform. Do you see? And it says that you should go and do A, B, C, and D. Do you see? And that your fruit should remain. Then it says that after that, at the end of the week, you get a paycheck. Wow. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So if you just skip all of this and just stay so focused on the paycheck. Do you understand? Yeah. Or show up at the workplace and you don't have any of these things. But you heard that, you know, one of your friends works there. And he came home with a paycheck last Friday. So you have come also to see if they'll give you one. That's not how it works. You can't just show up at Ines workplace. And just because they paid her last week and you heard about it. So you say, please introduce me to your boss to see if he'll give me one of those checks. And when the boss comes out, you say, oh, my name is Paul. I'm Ines' friend. You gave her a check last week. It looks so good. I was wondering if you'd like to give me one. That's not how it works. Amen. So we need to be fruitful in order to experience answers to our prayers. And you can see that there is a general call. This is not to any specific people. It just says anybody, every Christian has been called to bear fruit. Hallelujah. Has been called to bear fruit. And, you know, Bishop says here that if we were to follow our Christian teachings to their logical conclusions, most Christians would become sacrificial and do something for God. And it's true. I mean, look at a verse like this. If you decide to obey this verse literally, it will send you out there doing something for God. Don't you think so? Yeah. It is because we don't read such scriptures in the church that many people have become fruitless. Or if we even read it the way we interpret it, you have been chosen that you will go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit remain. Do you understand? So I see your houses remaining. I see your cars remaining. I see you having a lot of cars. I say much fruit. Say much fruit. That means more cars. That means more houses. That means more bank accounts. Have a bank account in China and Hong Kong and Thailand and another one in New York and another one also in Washington and in London. I say much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. And that your fruit remain. That means no arm robber will steal your car. That means no one will break into your car. Because your fruit is remaining. I say your fruit is remaining. Your fruit is remaining. See, the whole scripture has passed somewhere. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says after church you are supposed to go home and check if those things were so. You're supposed to read the scriptures and see what the Bible is saying. Hallelujah. The much fruit is not that you are going to have more cars and so on. Do you get it? Because that one is taken care of here. You see, your needs are going to be met in this part of the verse. So this cannot be the same as this. Hallelujah. God wants us to bear much fruit. Amen. Amen. Says the saddest and perhaps ugliest feature of many Christians today is how little we do for Christ. We have been saved by an amazing act of love and grace, but we are not prepared to give up anything to save others. It is so sad to see Christians waste their lives away doing nothing for the Lord. Hallelujah. But that will not be your story. Amen. I said that will not be your story. Amen. You will not be one of those Christians who waste their lives away. Who waste all the preaching you have heard. Who waste all the maturity you have attained. But you are going to do something for God with the little that you know. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. Now the number three fact about the call of God is that some people are called in a spectacular way. Some people are called in a spectacular way. And that is true. Amen. Amen. Some people are called in a spectacular way. And a good example is the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 3. Chapter 9, sorry, verse 3. Acts chapter 9 and from verse 3. It says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul was called in a dramatic and spectacular fashion. He saw a shining light come down from heaven and heard a voice speaking to him. He fell to the ground and he was struck with blindness for several days. Unfortunately, whenever someone shares an experience he had, everyone wants to have the same experience. Do you see? Everybody wants to see a light and hear a voice, otherwise they will not believe they are called. But God cannot be put into a box. And he cannot be expected to repeat himself in the same predictable way all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here is the main point. This is the thing that makes a lot of people exclude themselves from the call of God, which is the lack of drama. in the call. Do you see? There is no drama associated with the call. But let me say this, that I think that how a person is called depends on their proximity to the caller. Is it not true? That if you wanted to get Bing Bing's attention, all you have to do is as much as a nudge. That is it. But if you want to get Lord's attention, you're probably going to have to turn around and either shout or wave or do something dramatic because of his proximity to you. You understand? Now, when you have someone like Paul, who is actually killing Christians in the name of helping God, do you understand? I mean, can you imagine someone who is so deluded that he thinks that in hurting God, he's actually helping God? In hurting the work of God, I mean, he's operating in the opposite mode, which is that he's going this way at a very fast rate and going down, 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 thinking that he's zealously serving God. To get such a person's attention, you need some drama. You need some drama. You're not gonna push him lightly and get his attention. Because every step and everything he's doing in that direction, he honestly believes it's actually God he's helping. So how do you turn someone who is already thinking that he is serving God? How do you change him? How do you tell him this is not how to serve God, or even what you are doing is not serving God? So no wonder he decides to meet him in the middle of the street. Yeah. That you are out there riding your horse in the middle of the day, and then a great light shines around in the daytime. Can you imagine that? Light that is shining in light. So bright, it knocks him off his horse, and then he's blind. Of course. I mean, if it gets brighter than this, you have to be blind if you look at it. It will blind you. Hallelujah. And so he looks out, and then he hears a voice from nowhere. And the voice mentions his name. And he starts to wonder, who even told you my name? You see. And so when his first response to the voice is, who are you, Lord? Yeah, it's like you even have to acknowledge there's a Lord before you even find out which Lord he is. Because you know that you have met something greater than you. Hallelujah. But a lot of us are not in that situation. Most of us are not in the situation that Paul was in. We are much closer to God than Paul was in that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are found in his house every day. Most of us are closer to God. And so there's no need for any drama. Because if you wanted to talk to Pastor Charles, you just push, you know, just move your hand over. Even sometimes just looking in someone's direction for a while. Somehow they just feel pricked by your eyes. You know. And in at most about a minute, they'll be turning to look in your direction. You see. And then you give them a message. So you just look at the person and you just give them sometimes a little wink, and they start to get a message, and they understand what is going on. It is because of their proximity to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So you cannot make a doctrine out of the type of call, do you see, and say that because Apostle Paul had a dramatic experience, you must also experience that, or then you are not called. How many understand what I'm explaining? Yeah. So that is the reason why many Christians exclude themselves from the call of God. They feel that an angel has not come into their room at night. Do you understand? They feel that they have not heard any strange voices at night. They have not seen any figures moving around in their room. I mean, if you saw something moving around in your room, what will you say? You get up and run away. You say that the house is haunted. You get, and you are going to call Pastor Charles and other strong prayer warriors to come and speak in tongues, bring gallons of oil to just pour all over the place. to make it secure and to make it good. That's what you're going to do. Hallelujah. You know the way Pastor Charles speaks, it drives demons away. It's just normal. Wow. Just his normal speaking makes demons tremble. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So stop looking for a dramatic experience, because your proximity to God now makes such drama unnecessary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It makes such trouble. It doesn't mean you will never see a vision. But what I'm saying is that you do not need such a drama to be called. Hallelujah. Your closeness to God already will make him call you in more subtle ways than you would expect. Hallelujah. Fact number four is that people are called in an ordinary way. People are called in an ordinary way. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Hallelujah. After the fire, a still small voice. Hallelujah. Now, this is very interesting, because it means that in the case of this mighty prophet called Elijah, you know, he was expecting that God would be probably in these three mighty manifestations. A wind that is breaking things, you know, or an earthquake that is destroying things, or a fire. And the Lord was not in any of these three things. But rather, when he had given up, said, I didn't see the Lord here, I didn't see him here, and I didn't see him here, maybe the Lord is not coming today. Then when he's closed the door, the Lord shows up in a still small voice. A still small voice. Still means steady. A steady small voice that never goes away. Now, many of us have not experienced a wind or an earthquake or a fire for that matter. But what is more common among us is a steady voice that keeps saying the same thing and has said it for many, 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 many years and is continuing to speak a still, steady, small, not loud, not shouting, not scaring anybody, but it is there. That is what you will find most Christians have. Hallelujah. And when people have or hear that type of voice, then they start to run away from it. They start to run away from it by making different kinds of excuses. They'll say that I want to finance the gospel. You get it. So as for me, I believe that my calling is to finance the gospel, or that I believe that my calling is to help someone else do something. You know, you find us, you know, I used to say those kinds of things myself. You get it? Mine is to finance the gospel, you know. Yeah. It's just a nice way of trying to escape something, and you wonder even who has even asked you anything. You see? Yeah. You see? So even the fact that no one has asked you any question, but you're already answering it, means most likely you are hearing a question. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you are hearing a question. You see? Because you find that nobody has really asked you anything, but you are so sure already that yours is to make money for the kingdom. You get it? Yeah. And you will see that indeed there is no such person as someone who is supposed to be making money for the kingdom. You're just supposed to be a Christian who is faithful with your tithe and with your offerings. And the Lord will out of that finance his kingdom. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but there's nobody whose job is to make money for the kingdom. You know, can you imagine it when we have work to do? Let's say we've come to your house to help you move. Then somebody stands and says, my job is I'll just open the door. Yeah. I'll just open the door. That's my job. You know, so everybody will bring the things out. Or I'll point to which track the things are going into. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. No. It's not supposed to be like that. Hallelujah. You are more expensive than any money you can give to the Lord. God would choose you over your money any day. Hallelujah. God knows how to find money. Yeah. He knows how to find money. I tell you, he's so good at finding money. You won't believe it. One day when they brought the tax bill to Peter, and Peter was trembling all over. He hasn't seen such a bill before. And he has not worked for some time because you know he's been following Jesus Christ. You get it? He has been following Jesus Christ for some time and has not worked. He was hoping that the tax-free status of Christ will cover him. You know, and then suddenly the bill came. And so he was wondering what to do. The Lord told him, get into the boat and go to the place. You cast the net. He says, just right there, cast the net. The first fish, not number two, not number three. You need fish number one. Catch that one. Open the mouth. There's a ring in there. Go and sell it and pay the bill. I tell you, he knows where the money is. If God wants to fund his gospel, first of all, it's his gospel. So he has not transferred the responsibility for financing it. How can he have? It's his message. Do you understand? He retains the responsibility for financing it. Hallelujah. God knows exactly who to touch. He knows if he can touch a fish, he can touch a human being. I tell you, he made the fish that had the ring come and swim around the boat. And when Peter threw the net in, he caught only that fish. And when Peter opened the mouth, he saw the ring. The ring was enough to pay the tax bill. I mean, in a very short time, the bill was paid for. Hallelujah. So God knows exactly what to do. Hallelujah. So it is great to experience God in some dramatic fashion. We have all longed for spectacular experiences with God. He said, as a preacher, I have longed for spectacular experiences so that I could come and tell the congregation about what I had experienced. I always felt it would make me look more powerful. Mercy. Oh, hallelujah. In my estimation, most people are called in an ordinary way, and this makes them ignore their calling. As I preach about people being called, I realize how it awakens something that is deep within them. Many people are called, but they simply do not know it. They are looking for the call in a spectacular way, but the call often comes in an ordinary way. Senior prophets like Elijah made the mistake of looking for God's call in a dramatic and special, spectacular way. If you continue to look for the call of God in that way, you will miss your blessing. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Hallelujah. So, in short, if we keep looking for some drama, we are going to miss the voice of God and miss the call of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you keep looking for something spectacular, say, Lord, if you have truly, truly, truly called me, tomorrow morning, let it rain only in my house, at the location where I'm living, only at my spot. You see, and you sometimes we give God such tests. You see, but I'm saying again that even the fact that there's a suggestion like that in your head shows that you have heard something. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have heard something. And what you have heard, if it is enough to make you put such a fleece out, then it is enough for you to continue with it by faith. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. The remainder of your confidence depends on faith. You can't be 100% sure about anything when you are walking with God. Wow. Otherwise, faith will not be necessary. We walk with God by faith. And faith covers the remainder of the uncertainty. Do you understand? Faith makes up for the uncertainty. You are not sure, but faith says, it's okay. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to try. And then that is how you get a complete opportunity to step into the call. Do you understand what I'm explaining?
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody is 100% sure about anything. It is the little feeling you have topped up with the faith that you have. Hallelujah. It's the little feeling you have, the little interest you have, topped up with the faith that you have. And then the two together will land you into the place. Amen.
Amen.
Then finally, some people are called through their desires. People are called through their desires. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If a man desire the office of a bishop, don't take it for granted. It is a good work. It is a good thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The job of a bishop or the job of a pastor, a bishop just means an overseer. Do you understand? And an overseer is the same thing as a pastor. The same thing as a shepherd. The difference is a matter of scale. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The difference is a matter of scale. So it's the same person doing the same sort of job, but doing it to different degrees. And you see their names change as they keep going up. Do you understand? Just like you can have a young lady who is called a girl. Then after a while, she's called a young lady. Then she becomes a woman. Then she's called wife. Then she's called mother. Then she's called grandmother. Then she's called great-grandmother. Same person. But through the different stages of life, as the roles are evolving, the names are changed to suit the new role more appropriately. Hallelujah. So it's the same thing. So don't let the word bishop scare you. Right? That it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, they say, that's exactly what I don't want to be. So it cannot be me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So he's saying that if somebody has a desire, that's the most important thing here. He's saying that this person didn't hear a call or anything, but he just has a desire. He just has an interest. And he says that also is a qualifier. Hallelujah. That a calling can express itself through a desire. Hallelujah. A calling can express itself through a desire. Now, desires are very, very important because God does many things through desires. Hallelujah. If you take your body, for example, your body functions basically based on desire. How do you know it's time to eat? Do you see? I mean, something that you depend on so much, like food. If you don't eat for a while, one day you're just going to die. Is it not true? So something as important as eating, there should have been a meter or some kind of a gauge on everybody's forehead, that, or even in their palm, which they are going to read to know that their food level has dropped. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See, the difference between you and your car is that your car has no ability to desire. That is why your car has to have a fuel gauge. And you're going to read the gauge to say, listen, whether the car feels like it or not, it's time for fuel. But the human body is not like that. So there's no gauge to read, isn't it? We go simply by desire. The way you know it's time to eat is by a strong desire to eat. That's how you know that it's time to eat. How do you know that it's time to go to the bathroom? Yeah. How do you know that? Till desire kicks in. Strong one. Hey, then you start to... Oh, excuse me, I'm coming. And then you run out. That is how you know it. Otherwise, we'll all be here. The way you know it's time is when it falls out. Yeah, that's when you know that, oh, I should have gone out there. Are you following what I'm saying? The difference between grown-ups and little children is the inability to interpret the desire. That what I'm feeling means this. That the way I'm feeling, it means I need to go here. So when you are potty training your child, you tell the child, anytime you need to go, you need to come and say, mommy, let me go. You need to come and say, mommy, do this. You are training the child in the art of interpreting their desire. Are you following what I'm saying? And what we need to do is to get good at interpreting our desires. It is not natural and ordinary that you have the desires you have, especially when it comes to God's house and God's work. Your interest and the desire you have to be in church, the desire you have to work in church, to do something in church, is a sign that there is some kind of a call. Hallelujah. That something is upon you. That is why you're even interested. You know, sometimes some people like to take a break. They like to just take a sabbatical or something like that. You just won't come to church. Today I'm not going. And you see that, yes, you are home, but you're not happy. Yeah, you feel like you're in the wrong place. Yeah, you feel like you're in the wrong place. You feel like something is seriously wrong. Even sometimes when people leave church early, like you leave church, like you have to go somewhere. So you leave church maybe before you say your bye-byes properly or something like that. As you're driving away, you kind of feel like, you know, the day didn't quite end the way it should have. You almost feel like coming back. Do you understand? All those things are signs of a call, an interest you have above average in the things of God. Hallelujah. So desires are very, very important. All the things that God has made our lives depend on are triggered by desire. You see, all the serious things that we have to do to live, they are all triggered by a desire. Hallelujah. And so you should not be surprised that a desire is one of the main ways by which God works. And when God wants to call somebody or God has called someone, one of the things he would do is to put a desire in the person's heart to do something and to serve him. Can I have an amen? So there are some people, the only sign of a call you're going to get is just a desire. Amen. It's just that you like God. You like church. You like God things. Do you see? You are interested in things that have to do with God. It somehow you can't just be, you know, indifferent to what is going on there. But that's not everybody's life. You see, that's not how everyone feels about God or about the things of God. So don't take those desires for granted. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't take those desires for granted. You must believe that those desires mean something. The fact that you are so interested in God and his and the things that pertain to him and his house is a sign that God has called you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So remember, many are called. Tell somebody, many are called. Many are called. And it is very likely that you are one of the many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, stand to your feet and let's bring... So those are the five facts about the call of God. And we're going to continue when we meet next time. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed by this book so far? I think it's a very fantastic book. And the more we learn about it, the call of God, the more exciting it's going to get. Amen. Amen. Remember, on the cover of the book, there's a place for your face. Over right here, this is your face. So you need to put your face there. Just take a selfie and then just put it there. Amen. Just remember that you're also called. So bow your heads, everybody, and just pray for a moment and say, Lord, I know that you have called me. And Lord, my answer is yes. Whatever you want me to do for you, I'm willing to do it. We're not talking about the church paying you. We're not talking about whether it's full-time ministry or, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the simple acknowledgement that God has his hand on you and that God is expecting you to do something with your life for him. That God wants to use your life to be a blessing to people. That he wants to reach out to other people through you. Oh yes. In the name of Jesus. Everybody just begin to pray and surrender yourself to the Lord. Oh yes. Jesus, I believe in you and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God. Jesus, Jesus, I believe in I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, for you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are.
Myself for good living, a promise. I won't hide it.
Father, this afternoon we pledge our commitment to the cause of God in bringing this world back to yourself. We pledge our availability and we pledge our willingness, O God, that we would make ourselves available to you to use. That instead of hiding and pretending that you have not called us, this afternoon we seek to acknowledge that still small voice. That still small voice that continues to remind us that our lives are meant for more than what we are using them for. That there is more to us. There is more to our lives. There is more to your expectation of us than just strolling in and out of services week after week. And Lord, this afternoon we say we agree with you. And whatever you have in mind, whatever your plan is, we are open to it, Lord. Let your will be done in our lives. Call us, Lord. Choose us in the name of Jesus. Use us. Use whatever gifts, talents, abilities you have given us. Use them. Lord, we pray especially concerning our desires, because we recognize that they are your way of making us, of bringing us gradually to the place that you have appointed for us. And we pray, Lord, that our desires will not go amiss. We pray that our desire and our interest in your work, in your people, in your house, we pray that these desires will continue to be nurtured. They will continue to be preserved in the name of Jesus. Give us opportunities for these desires to find expression in the name of Jesus. And Lord, when those opportunities come our way, may we not turn them down, Lord. May we not walk away from the opportunities you give to us to do your will and to fulfill the callings upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your great blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.